The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, January 9th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad you could be a part of this today. Thanks for joining us at 420radio.org, on Shoutcast, on TuneIn, on Ustream, on iTunes, on YouTube. Hell, we're everywhere. If you need any information, just visit 420radio.org or send me an email, russ@radicalruss.com. On today's show, cops say legalize drugs. We have a regular segment with law enforcement against prohibition. Check them out at leap.cc. Our guest today is Lance Buchholz. He's a former retired sheriff out there in, I forget where he's from. Let's check this out. He's out from Green Lake County, Wisconsin. So we'll talk to him about the legalization of marijuana, and maybe we'll cry a little bit about the Green Bay Packers, but we'll have him on at half past the hour. Also on today's show, we'll have time for a radical rant. I'm going to talk about the inevitable separation of medical marijuana activism from legalization activism. It just can't go any other way. I'll tell you why when we get to the end of the show today. Also on today's show, we've got some more news coming out from CNN's opinion poll. They've been just trickling out the data on their opinion poll. We had coverage of this yesterday and the day before in Behind the Headlines. Today, we go behind the headlines on their numbers on decriminalization. That is, how many people think that marijuana users ought to be put in jail. So we'll tell you what those numbers are in our Behind the Headlines segment. Also today, for Daily Toker Tunes, it's Groovin' Thursday, so we hope to have Bago Schwago giving us a call from Arizona and playing some great rap, hip-hop, R&B type music. But before we get to all of that, we'll get to our 420 radio news for Thursday. And in the news today, Mario Cuomo in New York, the governor, announced his plans for medical marijuana. We've also got Alaska looking to legalize, the airports in Denver looking to restrict the legal rights of marijuana possessors, a glimmer of hope in the NFL with regards to medical marijuana, and another BHO explosion. This time up in the Pacific Northwest. We'll tell you what happened when we get to the news. And don't forget that we'll be going into Toker Talk Radio in hour two. You want to check out Toker Talk Radio. We got a special show and tell of High Times magazines from 1975 through 1981 that are going to be a part of our new weekly segment, our Fan Friday Trivia Contest, where you could win a copy of High Times magazine from over 30 or 40 years ago. So check that out. We'll be back with the news when we come back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, January 9th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Governor Mario Cuomo of New York officially announced today his plans to revive a dormant 1980 controlled substances law to allow for the medicinal use of marijuana in the Empire State. Cuomo, previously an opponent of efforts in Albany to pass a medical marijuana bill, said in his State of the State address Wednesday, quote, "We will establish a program allowing up to 20 hospitals to prescribe medical marijuana, and we will monitor the program to evaluate the effectiveness and the feasibility of a medical marijuana system." End quote. This proposed system would be the most restrictive medical marijuana law in the country, requiring patients to be approved by a panel of doctors at one of the 20 hospitals for only severely debilitating or terminal conditions. The source of the medical marijuana has not been determined, but initial reports claimed Cuomo would try to get donations of marijuana seized by law enforcement, a move that's legally impossible, or receive it from the United States Federal Pot Farm in Mississippi, a move the National Institutes on Drug Abuse are unlikely to approve. The campaign to regulate marijuana in Alaska has picked up 150% of the signatures it needs to put legalization on the August primary ballot. Election officials require 30,000 valid signatures, and the campaign claims to have well over 45,000. Alaska is unique among states with ballot initiatives in that its initiatives are placed on the primary rather than the general election ballot. The proposed legislation would be similar to Colorado's, with adults allowed to purchase marijuana from retail outlets. Alaska's constitutional privacy provisions already protect Alaskans who grow a personal marijuana garden and possess up to a quarter pound in their homes from law enforcement intrusion. However, passage of the initiative would allow Alaskans to take an ounce outside their homes with no penalty. Over 1,000 Alaskans are still arrested for possession every year. The airports in Denver and Colorado Springs have taken steps to thwart passengers who may be trying to bring recreational marijuana back with them to their home states. In a contentious public hearing yesterday, Denver International Airport formalized the creation of rules allowing for the confiscation and fining of passengers caught in the airport with marijuana. First-time offenders will pay $150, second-time offenders $500, and a repeat offender gets a $999 fine, similar to the fine structure for open display of marijuana on Denver's 16th Street Mall and city parks. The airport has already erected signs warning passengers about the ban on marijuana. Quote, "You cannot bring marijuana past security and you cannot transport it across state lines," said airport spokeswoman Stacy Stegman. If the Transportation Security Administration, quote, "discovers marijuana, they would notify law enforcement," end quote.
Medical marijuana patients protested the ban. Colorado Normal head Rachel Gillette said, quote, "To deny safe access to medical marijuana at the airport is unnecessary, and I think it's cruel," end quote. There's a glimmer of hope that someday the NFL may allow its players to use medical marijuana. Roger Goodell, the league commissioner, was asked by ESPN about the issue, to which Goodell responded, quote, "I don't know what's going to develop as far as the next opportunity for medicine to evolve and to help either deal with pain or help deal with injuries, but we will continue to support the evolution of medicine," end quote. Currently, the two top playoff teams, the Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks, play where both medical and recreational use of marijuana is legal, and eight more teams play in medical marijuana states. Inhaled cannabis has shown to protect the brain from the damage of concussion, an injury the NFL just settled a class action lawsuit over for $765 million. The NFL need not punish its players now. The collective bargaining agreement with the players' union only prohibits the illegal use of drugs. The next opportunity to renegotiate for players' use of medical cannabis doesn't happen until 2021. A wall in a building in Seattle was blasted off its foundation 6 inches when an attempt to manufacture butane hash oil indoors met its predictable explosive consequence. Seattle Fire Department spokesman Kyle Moore said there was no fire, but that a sliding glass door and windows were smashed in addition to the wall damage. The explosion was reported by a woman who was working in a flower shop housed next door who was spared any injuries. Police found butane stored in a freezer along with marijuana and suspect the butane container leaked the heavier-than-air gas, which then seeped into the electrical wiring compartment of the freezer, sparking the explosion. Police also found a full marijuana growing operation housed in the basement of the building. Arson investigators are pursuing leads to level charges of reckless endangerment against the perpetrators. And finally, Governor Martin O'Malley opened the legislative session in Maryland today by stating he is strongly against legalizing marijuana for recreational use, stating marijuana can, quote, "be a gateway to even more harmful behavior," end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, January 9th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines on the latest data release from the CNN opinion poll that shows that almost nobody supports jail for marijuana use in the United States. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of College Normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Jorge Cervantes TV,
with Jorge Cervantes from Barcelona, Spain, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and 1 a.m. GMT, right here on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines. If you've been following the show the past couple of days, we've given you a bunch of details on the CNN opinion poll, and there are more that have been released today that tell us almost nobody supports jail for marijuana use. Now, CNN has been slowly releasing data from this poll, you know, to stretch out the news cycle, and we already told you it showed 55% national support for legalization and 74% that believe marijuana is safer than alcohol. Well, today we learned that 84% of Americans believe that nobody should go to jail over pot. Yeah, that's great news. CNN asked, quote, "Assuming marijuana is not legalized, do you think people arrested for possession of small amounts of marijuana should be put in jail or just have to pay a fine without serving any time in jail?" That was the question. And to that question, 4 out of 5 people, 79%, agreed on a fine with no jail time. And then another 5% volunteered the answer, neither. Neither a fine nor jail time. So that's where we get in the 84%. That are against jail time. Still, about 1 out of 7 people, or 14%, support caging us, and then there's another 2% that are undecided. Now, when we look through the demographics, in the absence of legalization, we find there is overwhelming support for fine-only punishment. Even 70% of seniors, you know, people over age 65, 74% of people living in the South, and 75% of conservatives, Republicans, and rural residents all chose a fine with no jail time for simple pot possession. Americans are also not keen on the federal government interfering with the states that choose to legalize marijuana. 7 in 10 people, 70%, oppose interference in Colorado's legalization. And then when asked whether Colorado's legalization was a good idea or a bad idea, people with an opinion tended toward good idea over bad idea. That was 33% versus 29%. But the most people, the plurality, 37% of them, want to wait and see what happens. So this provides a bit of a challenge now for Colorado and eventually Washington to provide that good example so those 37% who are waiting to see what happens will be glad to see it happen in their state. They also asked about support for medical marijuana, and this has just about become unanimous in the United States. Better support for medical marijuana in this poll than almost any other public opinion survey issue you could ask people. Nearly 9 out of 10 people, 88%, agree that, quote, "adults should be allowed to legally use marijuana for medical purposes if their doctor prescribes it," end quote. And this support has grown from 8 out of 10 back in CNN's poll just about 13, 14 years ago. So these days, it kind of seems like the only place in America you can find a majority that's in support of jailing tokers or patients is in most of the state government assemblies and in the United States Congress. So can you think of any other issue for which the public support ranges from 58% legalization, the 74% that say marijuana is safer, the 88% that support medical marijuana, the 84% that don't think that we should have any jail time for marijuana? How do we reconcile this massive public support for one element of American policy and not have hardly any representation for that policy in our United States Congress, in our state houses, in our city councils, and so forth? How can the politicians be so far behind the people on this issue? And it's seeming to me like the thing that is going to break them out of their stupor is seeing those long lines of people outside the recreational stores waiting in the cold and snow in Denver, Colorado to purchase overpriced, overtaxed marijuana. They hear the cha-ching of the cash registers and recognize hearing that $5 million in the first week of sales in Colorado translates to thousands of dollars in tax revenue for the state. Is it going to take money to finally buy them out of their willful ignorance on the people's support of legalization, decriminalization, and medical marijuana? Well, it shouldn't, but if that's what it takes, then by God, let's get out there and buy some more weed and show them that we don't need to punish people for their use of marijuana anymore.
Well put.
I don't feel like being punished.
Punish this.
We got to take a break, and when we come back, we got some Groovin' Thursday for you.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say little recollect, darling, your words to little red carpet, you need a lover that's gonna lay.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals, they're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in Pod Safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for some Daily Toker Tunes. And unfortunately, Bago Schwago can't be with us today. He's got some personal stuff to take care of. So I'll be handling the Groovin' Thursday duties for the day. Before we get to the tune, though, I want to make a special announcement to longtime listeners of the show and new listeners to the show, for that matter. For 2014, we're beginning a new segment. We want to give back to the fans and let you guys have a little bit of fun. So on Fridays, on hour two in our Toker Talk radio program, at our 420 break, that would be about an hour from now, tomorrow, we will be doing our what we're going to be calling Fan Friday Trivia. And the way it'll work is that I will give out a trivia question at 420 on Fridays, and then by email, you'll respond if you can get the right answer. And then I will randomly select one of the correct answers from email, and on the following Monday, announce the winner. And that winner will get a vintage copy of High Times magazine, as well as 420 Radio and Russ Belville Show stickers. Ooh. This is the oldest one I have. Wow. This one is March of 1975.
Wow.
Yeah, this has got exclusive photos from a kief harvest in Morocco. and other great stuff. And it's just fun as hell reading these old High Times magazines and seeing some of the things that they were saying back then that they're still saying today, you know, in some respects, you know, and then in other respects, how much things have changed since we've had, 40 years of High Times. But these are great. We've got this one. We've got a range of them.
There's stacks of them sitting over there. And yeah. It's going to be a lot. What kind of trivia are we going to be
It'll be
asking?
Marijuana trivia, marijuana policy trivia. Whatever. Just whatever I happen to think of.
Oh, no. They're showing nipples on the front of that one.
This is the June 1980 High Times with Mick Jagger on the cover.
See,
with I think you shouldn't encourage young people to take drugs. I think that's just awful.
See, and now on Facebook, that would be totally off limits because it shows a nipple.
High Times with Cheech and Chong. Will success spoil Cheech and Chong?
Oh, show them the back.
August 1980 in
the original
airplane movie.
Yeah.
And then the one you won't get, my copy of the September 77 issue of the Interview with Hunter S. Thompson. I'm keeping this one. But here's some music for you from Symphony of Science. This is Monsters of the Cosmos.
I will travel where no man has dared to go.
Into the black hole.
Why, that's crazy.
If you fall in, you would never come out. Stretching you from head to toe. Death by black hole.
There are monsters out in the cosmos that can swallow entire stars.
Inside these equations, there's a monster.
Anything that springs too close will be pulled in.
Gravity is infinite at the center of a black hole.
Time stops. Space makes no sense.
Every galaxy has got one big black hole in the middle and millions of smaller black holes.
An anomaly of gravity so strange. Nothing is more seductive.
Monsters out in the cosmos that can swallow entire stars,
that can destroy space itself,
completely invisible.
Anything that strains too close will be pulled in.
In the last century, black holes have gone from being mathematical curiosities to real objects in the cosmos, seemingly crucial to the formation of galaxies.
Nothing can escape it, even light.
There must be millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy.
Nothing there to light them up.
Millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy.
Nothing there to light them up.
At the heart of a large black hole is a singularity.
It's a singularity.
It's a point of infinite density.
The accepted laws of physics break down.
Black holes form when giant stars run out of fuel and collapse under their own weight.
Dark remnants of burned-out stars.
Truth is stranger than sci-fi.
An anomaly of gravity so strange. Nothing is more seductive.
There are monsters out in the cosmos that can swallow entire stars,
that can destroy space itself,
completely invisible.
Anything that strains too close will be pulled in.
Millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy.
Nothing there to light them up.
Millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy.
Nothing there to light them up.
Nothing that's bigger and scarier than a black hole.
A boundary between the known universe and a place beyond the reach of science.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
You're the stone to come to my world. You're passing by the sand. Don't take me by the hand.
listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Gordon Green's Music Planet with Gordon Green from Spain every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. GMT right here on 420radio.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, and it's time for our regular segment with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And joining us by telephone right now, we have Lance Buchholz, who's a retired sheriff out of Green Lake County, Wisconsin. Lance, are you on the line?
I'm right here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds fantastic. And before we get to the drug war stuff, gosh, so I'm still sad about those Packers, my man.
Oh, no, don't bring that up.
Okay.
My therapist said I shouldn't really talk about it yet.
Okay, we'll put that aside. Let's get to the drug war, which maybe we can maintain here for a bit. The quote that I find in your bio here, the war on drugs has made many people lose faith in the integrity of government. Cops and civilians alike are ready for it to end, end quote. How do you, what makes you think that? What do you think the drug war does as far as people's trust in police and government?
Well, you have officers coming into the schools with the DARE program. Let's use that as an example. And, you know, they tell these kids that marijuana is all bad and terrible. And of course, years go by. They've tried it in some social situation, maybe in college. And, you know, they find out that, you know, if they tried marijuana, guess what? The next morning, the sun still comes up. It's still beautiful outside. The world didn't collapse. And they're starting to wonder, well, wait a minute. They lied to me about this drug. What else have they been lying to me about? And I think it's that attitude, as far as actual young people that I've talked to, that's led them into trying other drugs. You know, you've heard that marijuana is this gateway drug, and I doubt if that's really true. But what I'm saying is if the people feel that they're being lied to about marijuana, what else has the government been lying to them about?
It's the ignorance surrounding marijuana as part of its prohibition that becomes the gateway. It's you lose trust in, you know, they said marijuana was bad, and it wasn't,
right.
So they must have been lying about cocaine and meth, too.
That's my point right there, exactly.
Now, you were a sheriff for 10 years there in Green Lake County, and of course, I'm sure you had to deal with many drug busts, many marijuana busts. Did you find that it impacted your department's ability to handle and respond to other actual crimes?
Well, yeah, what you have is, this fascination, let's say, with, you know, and the focus on drugs. And I actually saw this where you'd be in a domestic abuse case, let's say, and you had a felony battery case. The female in the relationship, let's say, was just devastated, hurt quite badly. And you'd have an officer that would see a roach in the ashtray, and all of a sudden the roach in the ashtray became the big deal. That's, you know, the whole focus of the case shifted from a felony domestic abuse battery to this minor incident with the roach in the ashtray. And you go, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. So it would be the whole focus would change.
Why is that? Why would the focus change? Why would the officers prioritize the joint bust over the domestic violence?
I think because they've been brainwashed, this drug war has driven everyone kind of crazy. it really has. What's really hurt me is, when I started out, officers were there to truly be helpful and serve the public. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, we would routinely check on, like, elderly senior citizens, make sure everything was okay, make sure they had enough to eat. I know this kind of sounds like Andy Taylor, you know. But the truth of it is that's what we did,
right?
You know, and over the years, I just saw this militarization of police departments, where, you know, now they want to get you know, more and bigger guns and different weapons, and, you know, almost driving around in tanks and armored vehicles, and, you know, holy Toledo! I mean, yes, there's going to be situations where something might come up where you may need some heavy armament like that. I'm not saying there isn't, but I just saw this complete militarization of law enforcement agencies that really, really bothers me.
We're speaking with Lance Buchholz. He's a retired sheriff from Green Lake County, Wisconsin, and a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Check them out at leap.cc on the internet. We got a question from our live chat room, and this goes to Leap's mission, which is not just the legalization of marijuana, but the legalization and regulation of all drugs. And our listeners want to know, how do we get to that point? It's easy to make the argument that marijuana is, say, safer than alcohol, but how would you convince people we need to end the prohibition of, say, psychedelics or narcotics or other types of hard drugs?
Well, I think the point there is, can we agree that there's always going to be drugs in our society? That's where we need to start with. There's a point where you have to say the drug war has been a failure. We haven't kept any drugs off the street. All we've done is made them more valuable. I mean, marijuana right now is worth more an ounce than gold or uranium, for Pete's sake. So my point, and I think Leap's point, is that there's always going to be a marketplace for these drugs. The question is, the real question we need to ask ourselves, is who's going to control this marketplace? Who's going to control that? Do you want it to be an underground criminal situation? Or should we be just regulating and controlling these drugs, just like we do with alcohol and tobacco?
That is the question. And, of course, another aspect of this is that legalization is a spectrum. I mean, I don't think that the laws that we have around marijuana or alcohol would be the same ones we might apply to meth or heroin.
Exactly.
Now,
there's other countries that have, you know, they're trying different things. I mean, you know, Switzerland's trying something different. Portugal's trying something different. You know, this is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we just throw up our arms and say, there's nothing we can do, so we'll just declare a war on it, lock people up. That's not working.
Absolutely correct. You also mentioned, the militarization of the police forces under the war on drugs, this tendency to treat the American people as the enemy, that drug users are demonized and we break down their doors and shoot their dogs and terrify their kids and so forth. How much of this danger is real? I mean, how much of it do cops really need to protect themselves versus how much of this could be stopped with, even if marijuana remains illegal, how much could be stopped by changing our policies in the policing?
Well, it's a very real situation. And I'm of two minds that, of course, because the dichotomy I have is, it is a very dangerous job at times, especially domestic situations. I had a very good friend and fellow officer get killed at a domestic call when he responded. The guy opened fire with an AK-47 and he was shot five times. So, you have these very dangerous and devastating situations. However, I don't think that's really applicable in some of the situations that you're seeing officers going into. They just back off and call the SWAT teams now. You're seeing a lessening of verbalization skills, especially with the advent of electronics. They just assume just tase a guy and talk to him. And I've seen this, and now that I'm now a civilian, I've actually filed complaints against officers in situations that I've watched where, I told the police chief, your officer did not even talk to this person. He just said, this is your order, do this. And when the person questioned it, out came the taser and down he went. They go from 0 to 60 right off the bat. And I think this is a dangerous trend, and I think it's getting worse.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I'm glad you mentioned this overuse of tasers, which were kind of sold to us as this idea that, we'd lessen the amount of cop-involved shootings because they'd have a less than lethal response. But we've seen that the shootings really haven't gone down. All we've done is added tasings to the mix. So what would you like to see happen with respect to the use of non-lethal force items like tasers?
Well, I just think that supervisors need to be watching the officers. You need to be very, very prudent, in watching these situations when they're used, to watch and see if you have a trend with certain officers who use them a lot more than other officers. Find out why they're using them. I know a situation I had where I was watching the court cases come through a sheriff. And I noticed that I had an officer. Now, mind you, you know anything about rural Wisconsin at all? I'm going to have to give you a little background.
Not really.
Okay. Well, I'm in really rural Wisconsin, and Green Lake County is a very, very small county, very small rural county, farming and some tourism. And I had an officer who I noticed after watching his court cases never, ever, never arrested any white males between the ages of 18 and 55. And I said, gosh, that seems kind of odd that in a small rural county in Wisconsin, he couldn't find any white males between the ages of 18 and 55.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that was arrested was a minority group or female. So I'm just saying that it's important that supervisors watch the actions of these officers, and if they see something that needs correction, like perhaps overuse of a taser, you need to be talking to the officers about that, and it takes some backbone to do that. I mean, think of what the sheriff does. I mean, people, when they get, what was your reaction the last time, I'm assuming maybe at some point in your life, you've been pulled over by an officer?
Yeah. Yeah, that
icy
feeling in the pit of the stomach.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now think about who supervises those officers, who is checking to see that they're doing their job correctly. Well, that's what the sheriff does, at least in Wisconsin. That's that's part of what your job is, internal affairs investigation for other police departments. And you need to keep an eye on the officers, and you have to do it with some backbone. And, of course, you need citizen support to do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, we hope that that citizen support starts coming around in Wisconsin and throughout the country. We're already seeing in the latest CNN poll that 84% of America does not support jailing people who use marijuana. So maybe the times are a-changing. We're speaking with Lance Buchholz. He's a retired sheriff from Green Lake County, Wisconsin, and a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. You can find out more about them at leap.cc. And Lance, thank you for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. And, you know, let's just keep our chins up and say, go Pack, go for next year.
Okay.
Good luck to you, sir, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Lance Buchholz with LEAP. Thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And we appreciate police officers who can remember a time when they were here to protect and serve, not search and arrest. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Medical marijuana versus legalization. Where are these activism paths heading? Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Great. Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway Theory. You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Legalization and medical marijuana. These are two sides of what some would say is the same coin of marijuana reform, but the way I'm looking at things and the way I'm seeing the whole legalization roll out here, it's beginning to appear to me that these are going to diverge and become two very, very separate issues. Now, we've talked a lot about the polling. We've seen the poll numbers show 88% support for medical marijuana, 84% for not jailing people, just giving them a fine over marijuana. That would be decriminalization. And then 58% support for legalization in that national CNN poll. The support for medical marijuana is overwhelming, like we can see. 30% greater support for medical than there is for legalization nationwide. But think what that support represents. That support represents people who think it's okay for you to smoke pot, but only if you're sick. If you're not sick, you ought to get a fine for it, assuming that that 30% is within that range of the 84% who think that we shouldn't be jailed, just fined. That would leave, what, 4% that think there ought to be jail if you're not using it medically, so let's not even worry about that. So if the gap between legalization support, 58%, and medical support, 88%, gives us 30% of the American public who think non-medical users ought to be fined, then those people are in the minority. We've got 58% support for people who think that marijuana ought to be legal, no fines, and just 30% support for people who think medical marijuana should be okay, but you ought to be fined for it if you're not sick. So it's no longer a situation like it was back in 1996 when, you know, support for legalization was in the cellar at about 20, 25, 30%, and medical marijuana was just starting to crest 50 or 60%, and there was much greater support for just medical use than there was for legalization. But that script has flipped now. That script has flipped. It is now us, the legalizers, who are in the majority. Now, whenever I get into this discussion, I get a whole lot of pushback from people who are in the medical marijuana circles who say, of course we support legalization. Of course we support legalization. But medical marijuana is all we can get right now. That's all we can push right now. That's all we can possibly succeed with right now. And there's logic to that thinking. You know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? If you can only get medical marijuana passed, then gosh, you got to fight for that. Any step forward is a step in the right direction, correct? However, those steps forward, as we continue to pick the medical marijuana path, the steps keep getting shorter and shorter. Medical marijuana in the 90s began with large home grow gardens and dispensaries and little regulation. And the nature of this movement forces every successive medical marijuana law to become more and more restrictive. And that's because of the imperative of still punishing people who were using it non-medically. Medical marijuana laws, at least with respect to use of the whole cannabis plant, can't get any less restrictive in future iterations unless we recognize the rights of non-sick people to be able to use that same plant. And it becomes a much more tenuous issue on the medical marijuana side to keep fighting for the medical use of the whole plant as cannaceuticals come online. Right now, you can make a pretty good case that someone with cancer, epilepsy, you know, whatever it might be, needs access to the whole plant so they can get the strain they need, the particular strain that works for them, so they can have enough of it to mix it into tinctures or butters or oils or vaporize it or however they might want to use it. That's a pretty compelling argument now. But as cannaceuticals come online and as these pharmaceutical companies, GW and others, begin to recognize the huge cash cow that they'll have in cannabis-based pharmaceuticals, the arguments for whole plant as a medical source start to wither away. When GW Pharmaceuticals gets Sativex approved here in the United States within the next year or two, what excuse does the multiple sclerosis patient have for gaining access to the whole plant, when the Sativex works as well or better, is approved under federal and state regulations, and is covered by health insurance? It's going to be a tougher argument to make that those MS patients have to have whole access to the whole plant, and fewer of those MS patients are going to be motivated to want to work for further legalizations of marijuana because they got theirs. They got their medicine. And we've got Epidiolex, yeah, that's the way it's pronounced, Epidiolex from GW, their version of Alepsia, this high CBD extract for use in certain forms of epilepsy. Same situation. What is going to be the need of the sufferers of Dravet syndrome and their parents to fight for access to the Charlotte's Web plant if Epidiolex is Schedule II, government approved, legal federally and state, and paid for by insurance. The fight for medical marijuana, the path of medical marijuana, inevitably in the West leads to these cannaceuticals, leads to the pockets of the pharmaceutical companies. The fight for the whole marijuana plant, that fight is the legalization fight. That is where people who want medical access to the plants need to get on board the legalization train. Because it's becoming much, much less tenable an argument to say that sick people need access to this plant, but healthy people have to be punished. The plant doesn't change. It's the same plant, whether it's tended by a healthy person or a sick person. The effect of the plant doesn't change. The sick person gets an effect from it. The healthy person gets an effect from it. And I know I hear patients all the time that say, oh, I don't get high off pot. No, you've just got a tolerance. And people that are healthy that smoke a lot can get that tolerance too. So if we want to fight for the whole plant and want to make sure patients can grow their own and have their own plants, that needs to be a fight for legalization, and a fight for legalization that recognizes the right to home grow. Furthermore, we see this alepsia, this phenomenon where the legislators in Utah and Pennsylvania and other states are recognizing that this high CBD oil doesn't have THC in it. And they continue to promote this alepsia by saying, no, 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 no. It's not medical marijuana. It doesn't get you high. As if getting high was something bad for someone who's sick. And we don't seem to apply that standard to Vicodin, Oxycontin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Prozac, etc. As Dr. Mitch said the other day, what the hell is Viagra for if not feeling good? But for some reason, feeling good off of the cannabis is a bad thing. Why? Because some healthy people like to feel good off the cannabis too. And their use being portrayed as immoral or irresponsible or immature still taints the medical users who are trying to use it for the same purposes. Now, those of us on the legalization side, those of us healthy people who've been fighting for liberty for all these decades, we got behind the medical marijuana movement. We put our own needs on the back burner. We put our own political needs aside because we recognize that the sick people needed the help. We have to, how dare we not stand up for the sick to get access to this? And in this situation we were in the 90s, after a decade or so of the 80s and having no movement whatsoever in marijuana policy, this was the path we had to take, the path we were forced to take. But now that the people have recognized by almost a 3 out of 5 margin that marijuana should be legalized, I think it's the time now to get back on the path to full legalization and bring all of us on that path. Recognize that now the patients are going to have all the political support they need. 88% of the public supports medical marijuana. Any state you point at, there's at least 70% support for medical marijuana. They've got the support. They've already got what they need. The time now is to start convincing those 30% between legalization and medical, those 30% of the people who still think there needs to be some sort of punishment for healthy people's use, those are the ones we need to start focusing on now. Those are the people that get us to full legalization. It's time to start recognizing that marijuana is bigger than just medicine. Oh, it's medicine, all right. Oh, yeah, no doubt that marijuana is medicine. You'd be blind not to see it. But it's bigger than that. Nobody puts baby in the corner, and nobody should be putting marijuana in just the medical box. To do so demeans the plant and all its users who use it for spiritual, for industrial, for recreational purposes. Let's get back to fighting for the whole plant, for all its users. And don't let marijuana be pigeonholed as just a medicine. That's all the time I got here for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us. Brian the Red and I will take things into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got plenty to talk about in Toker Talk, including another video, this time Dr. Drew Pinsky versus Dr. Carl Hart. This one's a good one. Also, another announcement on our Fan Friday trivia coming up tomorrow on Toker Talk Radio. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You're taking seeds, you're planting, you're growing, you're dying, you're